Hi, it is I Should Be Writing Season 17, Episode 32.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft.
And hello there. This is I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers, streaming live on Twitch and then put into the RSS feed a couple of days later. My name is Myrrh Lafferty. I use she, her pronouns, and this is my show. I've been doing it since 2005. Now, just take a moment and let me feel old. Okay. I usually start by talking about what I'm working on, and I'll be honest, I'm a little discouraged right now. I had it in my head that I was going to be doing 3 major editing projects, and then I'd be done with the editing projects, and then I would be done to relax. Able to, you know, take a little time off, because I've been working really hard this first quarter. And, I'm not done yet, so some of the projects have been kicked back for more edits, and it's discouraging. And I know that this is also the way it goes. It's, you know, you may go back and forth a couple of times before you give them what they are satisfied with publishing. It's not quite as bad as a rejection. On the other hand, you can just turn around and send a story somewhere else without having to work on it. Well, now that I have 140,000 words back on my plate to fix. 145,000 words. I don't have to fix every one of them, but it just feels like I was looking forward to a break, and still got a lot to do. And so that's a little discouraging. So I did what I usually do. I made myself macaroni for lunch. I got to run out to the grocery store after this, and I'll be buying myself a bottle of red wine, and then tomorrow I'll get back to work, because that's how I roll. I might get some ice cream, too. I'm weak. But come on. Can you blame me? I've been more productive than I've been in a very long time this past 4 or 5 months, and was really hoping for a break. But, you know, on the other hand, as my husband keeps telling me, it doesn't mean it's bad. It means they want to help it become better. But still, I believe every writer does have the dream of turning in the project and having them go, "This is perfect, thanks!" It doesn't happen like that, unfortunately. I might do some high-level admin planning tonight, but I'm not going to look at the edits. I'm just going to work on my schedule for the next couple of weeks. Next week, I will not have a Thursday stream because I've got to get my daughter from college and bring her home. Yay, but no Thursday stream. That's what I'm working on. I'm currently reading... What am I currently reading? Dang it! I can't remember anything. I just got Dead Silence by S.A. Barnes. And I got Becky Chambers' new one. I've got a plan to get... To do some, like, little video ads that show off the books that I get so that the publicists who send them to me might feel it was worth their time. But right now, So this is the arc for Dead Silence by S.A. Barnes. At the edge of the solar system, no one can hear you scream. The Aurora, a luxury space liner destined for a cruise on the solar system, has been missing for 20 years. Among the hundreds of presumed dead were passengers from society's finest, celebrities, tech giants, influencers. Every last one vanished. So, It sounds pretty, I need to take a look at this. Stomach-turning sinister space horror, perfect for fans of Alien or everyone knows that things go wrong in space. So, this sounds pretty awesome. I'm gonna give it a look and then I'll probably do a giveaway further down the stream. Not today, just further later episodes because I'm not really set up to do a giveaway yet. This is not new, I don't think, but my friend and producer Summer sent it to me, and I love Dragon Age, so I got Deventer Knights. And I'm gonna be digging into those because a lot of the writers for the game wrote these stories. Oh, it just came out last year, so it's kind of newish. But yeah. And then this one, very excited about. Becky Chambers, I love almost everything she does. No, I pretty much love everything she does. There are some that I prefer over others, but really, she's amazing. So that's got the new Becky Chambers as well. So I'll be doing a giveaway of at least those three. Yeah, it is a gorgeous cover. Coming up later. But those are the books that I'm paying some attention to right now. And as for news, I don't have much except for what I've already shared, and that's kind of cranky making. So I am fully vaccinated, and I got to spend time with my mother last a couple of days ago for the first time in over a year. And I've seen her, masked on her porch. When she was vaccinated and I was mostly vaccinated and she was in the hospital. But, haven't actually sat down and seen each other's faces and talked for a while, and that was really nice. So that's about all the news I've got. I'm getting my daughter. I got to see my mom. So, things are looking up. And I got together with some accountability buddies today, and we're trying to look at our month ahead and goals we set. And they mentioned we want to start our looking at the month with gratitude in mind, looking at the last month with gratitude in mind. And I've just been in a crappy mood. And the gratitude that I discovered is that I'm doing my dream job. This is exactly what I wanted to do when I was a little girl. And there are times that it sucks. There are times when a plot doesn't work, or you go back and forth with the edits, or you get rejected, or your editor gets fired, or your agent fires you, or you fire your agent, or bad stuff happens. But I am doing my dream job, and I'm very grateful for that. I gotta remember that. The problems of my career, just like I say the rejections are, they're problems in my career. They happen. I remember Paolo Bacigalupi told me that he, when he was writing The Wind-Up Girl, he was told he had to remove a character, and it felt like he was doing major cavity surgery on somebody, and he had to take out all the innards and pluck one thing out and then put all the innards back to where they worked, and they were wonderful. So I know I'm not the only person in the world to have ever gotten edits batted around like a tennis ball, but it sometimes feels that way. So I don't really have good news beyond family stuff, but I do want to express the gratitude that I am doing my dream job. And everybody's dream job has some part of it that sucks. So, I just gotta keep going. Persistence is the way to move. Yay for spending time with family and ooh, accountability buddy. What a great idea. Yeah, Frigg's daughter, if you guys in the if you're part of the Discord, which you can join by supporting the Patreon or subscribing here on Twitch, I've got a space in there for accountability buddies. I haven't really led people there, but I encourage you to find somebody who will check in on you and you can check in on them, and it really does help. My accountability buddies aren't even, I mean, they're not they're not fiction writers. They're, if they are writers, they're screenwriters. They're writers and performers and actors and comedians. And I'm like the only fiction writer among them. But it's still an accountability buddy thing to check in on somebody and say, hey, are you doing your stuff? You made a list. Are you doing the most important things on your list? And it helps. Does anybody else have any good news to share? Good news of any kind? Vaccinations, acceptances, rejections, submissions, whatever. I just like hearing that y'all are moving forward too. And if you're not, then let me know how I can help. Because if there's one thing this pandemic has taught me, it's that, you know, sometimes a kind word from somebody is all you need to get moving. Sometimes a harsh word from somebody is all you need to get moving, but I'm not good at that. My family adopted a puppy. His name is Roger. Awesome. I'm going to meet with an editor this weekend about my query package. That's exciting. I assume you're talking about like an editor to talk about the edits, not an editor to talk about the purchase. I'm not sure. Let me know. First vaccination shot for Lee. 24 hours of misery, but yay, indeed yay. Finished a first draft of a thing I was working on. It's pretty shit, of course, but I finished it. Says Meerkat, that's excellent. You get your own yay push. First drafts are allowed to be shit. I can't say that word on this podcast, can I? Man, I forgot about that. Not can't, but just, I don't. We got the puppy news. We got Indigo Quills news. That's fantastic. Val is now fully vaccinated and almost finished with this book edit. Fantastic. Do you want to tell me how many edits are you suffering through? Frigg's daughter got another rejection. Woo! Good job! My husband is super supportive and truly believes in me and my stories. Can't ask for much more than that. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing when your spouse is supports your dreams. I remember, I don't know if I'll ever forget it. I don't remember who sent it to me. I don't remember the name of the person, but I just remember getting an email from somebody who they were having financial troubles and had employment problems, and she wanted to write, but whenever she was doing something that was not looking for a job or taking care of the family, her family would be on her that she was misusing her time. And that broke my heart. I just felt so awful. Because, I mean, when you pursue, like, creative dreams and you don't, you understand there's work involved. You know, sometimes people try something new and they suck at it and they're like, oh, well, screw that, and they throw it away. But I mean, you pursue something creative and you keep doing it, you'll get happiness and fulfillment out of it. And do you know what happy, fulfilled people do? They sleep better. They have a better first impression when they're meeting an employer or a possible employer. I mean, there's no reason not to want to be happy or want to be creatively fulfilled. So, you know, I try to remember to thank my husband for helping me out mentally and in all ways through the years. It just makes me sad. Oh, wow, Wonder Pope reached the writing goals last month, so my accountability buddy bought me the promised beer. Congratulations. Yay for beer. Creative work is so hard already. Doing it without any support or even with active opposition is so rough. Yeah, it makes me so sad. Because, yeah, I say the only person who can stop you writing is you. But it helps when no one's directly pushing against you. You know, I know people who stopped writing in elementary school because their principal said they shouldn't be writing about horror or science fiction or something. And they stopped then. So if that's it for news, I'm going to hit the yay button one more time just in case somebody... I didn't hit it for somebody or for anybody who has news that they didn't share. because even if you're celebrating inside, celebrate a little, please. So I kind of have a silly idea today, and as I'm going to be winging it as I usually do these podcasts, I hope I'll stick the landing. But it's an idea I had. I did something kind of like this with NaNoWriMo a couple of years back when I was trying to structure NaNoWriMo after a RPG. So you've got, you know, you want to get your weapons together and you want to get your map together and you want to fight your first monster in the first 1600 words and all that. But I was thinking more in depth about confidence, and apologies to those of you who just saw me talk about this on Ditch Diggers an hour and a half ago, but just that confidence is one of those really weird things that it implies something you have on the inside, but if you act like a confident person, no one else is going to know the difference. So it's kind of like you bring it into being just by thinking about it. And, you know, if you can pull it off, then maybe that acting confident will actually translate and be part of you. And so while I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the joke I used to have about LARPing a successful writer. You know, we say, dress for the job you want, or a couple of episodes back we talked about how being a pro doesn't necessarily mean hitting a certain income as a writer, but it's acting like a pro, acting professional, you know, treating this like it's a profession that you want. But that's almost like LARPing, you know, live action role-playing games. It's somebody had asked Neil Gaiman, I have to narrate my own audiobook and I'm nervous. What advice do you have? And he said, well, I pretend like I'm an author who's comfortable narrating my own audiobook. And she's like, huh, strangely that works. So, I just had the idea to take like the story in the Save the Cat beat sheet, beats and see if I can translate it to role-playing a successful writer. If you're unfamiliar with Save the Cat, look it up. It is a method of storytelling identified, I guess is the real word, by Blake Snyder. And he's gone now, but he has other people taking up the mantle. And Jessica Brody wrote Save the Cat Writes a Novel. And so she takes all of the screenwriting tips and puts it into, like, applies it to 50, like, over 50 novels she read to write this book. And it's one of those things where some people don't like to write to a formula, but we as humans anticipate certain things when it comes to storytelling. And you know, it's like, take M. Night Shyamalan. After you watch a couple of his movies, you're thinking, well, there's a twist coming up, but you don't know what it is. And if you don't get one, you're going to be sitting there, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. We build up an expectation when it comes to parts of a story. And when we don't get those, it feels wrong. And I say, a lot of people say this is universal, but it's not. It's very Western, because at least from what I've read and what I understand, at least of Japanese film and books, their kind of storytelling has different beats. For example, Murakami's, is that who I'm thinking of? Yeah. The guy who did Spirited Away and Kiki's Delivery Service. He has a weird thing where he develops this dastardly evil, usually magically evil, person as a protagonist. And then that person is entirely neutered by the middle of the story. And then a larger protagonist rises, or antagonist, excuse me. And it's like, once you realize this, you can see it in a lot of his movies. Maybe not Totoro, but it's, you see it in Spirited Away, you see it in, I can't remember any of the names anymore. Howl's Moving Castle. It's just, Howl's Moving Castle, it's the witch. Thank you, Val. Miyazaki, thank you. I was thinking of the author Murakami, and there's the filmmaker Miyazaki. But anyway, if you do study this beat sheet, know that it is a very Western approach, which is fine. I mean, I write in English, so I write for a Western audience, but it just annoys me when people say it's universal, because it's not. But just be aware that there are other storytelling methods out there. I got, when I watched Your Name, which is a phenomenal movie, highly recommended, the climax comes in the middle, directly in the middle. And the rest of the movie is a one long denouement. And it was so shocking to realize that, oh, this is the big climax happening. And so it was interesting. But the thing is, I felt weird because I had expectations. We have expectations that stories are going to go a certain way. And when we don't get that, those expectations aren't fulfilled, it feel weird. It's so, yes, Collectonian, thank you. Princess Mononoke and Nausicaa are two of his other films. Also, maybe not Nausicaa. But yeah, I wondered, Val, the Howl's Moving Castle was written by Diana Wynne Jones. Am I right there? And so he based his Japanese movie off of a Western book, but thank you, Diana Wynne Jones, yes. And so he threw in his storytelling thing of where he develops this big magical bad in the first half of the movie, and by the middle of the movie, they are not only stripped of their powers, but they're also just kind of a passive, friendly companion. No Face in Spirited Away is the same. But that was a big tangent. I'm so sorry. Time for the doggy to stretch. There he goes. Stretch. Okay. Anyway, the Save the Cat beats. Some people don't like the putting their story into a formula. They think it's stifles them. But I see it as you've got basic plans for a house. And you see all sorts of different houses out there. And I see this story structure as the same way. It's a good, solid structure to build your story around. Your story can do all sorts of things after you build those beats. So, my point. Oh, Mirror Universe 4. We pause to do a Mirror Universe. Evil Murr has come, and Evil Murr has some advice for you. Evil Murr says, proper marketing includes putting down other books, spreading rumors about authors you don't like, and encouraging your readers to go after your critics. That is the Evil Murr advice, and everyone should follow it. All right? So, thank you, Sario, for summoning Evil Murr. And we haven't had number 4 in a long time. So, I was thinking I would take the first couple of beats of the Save the Cat and try to apply it to us as writers. Yes, that is some truly awful advice. I know. I tried to think up the worst ones. I need to write a new one that really, really poop on people who give you 4-star reviews, because that's a great idea. I still don't understand that. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it was the main character of Twitter a couple of days ago. An author just went unhinged and started yelling about four-star reviews on her book. And those of us who are closer to the mid-list were just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Anyway, so the first beat is Right, the opening image. And the opening image is you right now, here at your place. The opening image is me. I'm sitting in a room that's a little too hot, and my face is very shiny. And I'm doing this podcast about writing instead of writing. I got some writing done yesterday morning, but not so much done today. But in my defense, we did have people come into the house, which means going out in the back and handling the dogs and chiggers. Don't like chiggers. So yeah, the opening image is just me in this house. It's a pandemic. My daughter's in school, but she'll be coming home soon. I have two dogs. They are a little obnoxious, but I love them. Yes, I called you obnoxious. Okay. And feeling a little lost in my career. And yeah, so wherever you are, whatever your situation is, that's your opening image. You know, are you collecting rejections? Are you looking at your, well, can't say this anymore because of computers, but looking at your metaphorical typewriter and just thinking about blowing the dust off of it and getting back to work. Metaphorical dust. And this is not where we want to be with the final image. It's supposed to be a mirror of this. So in theory, my final image will be me not feeling lost, will be me turning in projects that stay there because the editor's happy with them. For you, it'll be the email that you open will be an acceptance, not a rejection. Or an invite to a convention where you can meet other writers because the pandemic will be in the rearview mirror. You know, there are other things. However happy you are in your career right now, there's probably something you would like to improve. So without that thing, that is our opening image. So the second part is the theme stated, which is a little difficult for me. I've mentioned this before, but I'm a very literal person, and finding out the themes of things is very hard sometimes. In fact, it was Jessica Brody in Save the Cat Writes a Novel who said, the theme is usually literally stated in the first couple of pages, where, and now of course they all leave my mind, you know, it's either, you're gonna have to learn to trust other people, or, why do you believe love is something you can't have, or, the theme stated is all over the Save the Cat Writes a Novel. I really should have an affiliate link up, because I talk about that book all the dang time, but, after learning that, it's easier to look around and try to find the theme stated in certain books. Because it's usually someone telling the protagonist, hey, this is how things are. And I believe in Star Wars it would have been Obi-Wan saying, you gotta take me to Alderaan. We gotta go together, because you can't just stay here on this dusty rock. You've got other more important things to do. And he's like, yeah, the most important thing I gotta do is like farm moisture. So it's funny how, you know, I'm not good at figuring out themes, but I think my theme would be that a constructive comment, and by constructive comment I mean the entire manuscript sent back to me with lots and lots of comments, is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just trying to make the book better. Because I was so looking forward to being done that I really didn't want to, I don't want to think about it again. But I got to remember, this does improve things. Also, Six Wakes had a really tough editing period. I went back and forth several times as well. And that was my last original book, and it got nominated for a bunch of awards. So it should probably be looking at it that way. But for now, I am the reluctant protagonist who just believes that everything is crap because I got sent back to me and there's no hope for my career at all, ever. So, for your theme, I guess you think about what is holding you back. Why didn't you write today? Why didn't you send out a manuscript yesterday? Why haven't you done an agent query? Wherever you are in your career, there's probably something that you should do and you're not. And so whatever's holding you back is probably your theme. Unfortunately, I don't know you guys, and there's more than one of you, so even if I did know a couple of you, I couldn't identify everyone's theme, so you're going to have to do it yourself, which is tough, because the protagonist is notoriously resistant to whatever the theme is. Otherwise, there would not be a book. I was working with a novella, and that made it a little harder to get all the beats right, because I didn't have a lot of room for some of the beats. Maybe that's one of the problems I need to address. Sario says 99.99% of themes go right over my head. I read the words, not the spaces in between. Yeah. Yeah. I describe theme as organizing principle. It's the rug that ties the room together, as Lebowski would say. That makes sense. Okay, back to this. So, what you need in life to be a writer, that's your call. And it's hard to decide this yourself. It's hard to decide what rug ties your room together. So, gonna have to do a little bit of introspection there. And then 3 is the setup, which is, again, your situation. Probably includes, like, your day job, what chores you do, other home responsibilities, gardening, podcasting, doing other hobbies or things that make up your life that perhaps all take a priority over writing. And I'm counting things like, you know, games and just sitting around drinking wine, or anything you do that's not writing is something you prioritize over writing, which is fine. You should not make writing the number one priority, but if you think about your life and what you do and how everything you do is a decision, whether you consciously think it or not. I am choosing to play Dragon Age 2 again instead of write tonight. I am choosing to watch Forged in Fire with my husband and see who's going to cut himself tonight. And I suppose that's the setup, because the setup is what is destroyed by the catalyst. And the catalyst is interesting. I see that as something breaks your inertia. And we run by inertia a lot. I really don't know anybody who doesn't. Maybe the really type A people who are brilliant but also bad with people, like Steve Jobs or something. I don't know. But somebody wrote me and asked me, at what point did I decide to quit my day job and become a full-time writer? And I said, I didn't choose it. It was chosen for me. I got laid off. And I couldn't find another job. That was really it. And did it kickstart my writing career? Yes, because I didn't have anything else to do. Well, I had a baby, but there was that too. But I was laid off. And then I went back into corporate stuff in 2007, worked for almost an exact calendar year, and then got laid off again. But those things are the kinds of things that break your inertia, like it or not. Because a lot of people say, I hate my job, but it's what I've got and I'm going to keep doing it. And then you don't get a better job until you get laid off. But you think being laid off would be the worst thing in the world, when oftentimes it turns out to be the best, because it forces you to do something else. So the catalyst is the thing that forces you to break the inertia of your life and figure out what's going to change. I think it was last week when I said I'd read that Seth Godin book where it mostly annoyed me, but it had one part, which is it's easy to go to the gym each day or sit down and write 1,000 words each day. It's easy. You just do it. The hard part is becoming someone who is the kind of person who does that. And that's the catalyst we're looking for. Is it going to be... Honestly, for me, you know, I told you when, if you were here for the Ditch Diggers recording, Alistair's one of my best friends. We've been very close friends for several years now. And Alistair kind of gave me some tough love one time several months ago when I said the thing that I've said many times to him, which is, gosh, I just wish, I really want to get an early morning writing routine going. I'm going to work on that. And he's like, Mer, you've been saying that for years. You're not going to do it. Find something else. And I got mad. And I spited him by making an early morning writing routine for myself. So I thank him for that because, you know, he gave me the tough love that I needed. But that was my catalyst. That was my inertia breaking, was someone actually calling me on my crap saying, stop saying it. Just do it. Or find something else because you're not going to do it because you've been saying you're going to do it. And, you know, I really appreciated that from him. And it didn't have to be as drastic as losing my job or something, but sometimes that's what it takes. And again, because you're driving the story and the story's about you, you have to either force the catalyst yourself or be ready for it when it comes. I had an episode, a couple episodes back, where I talked about how really do you find time to write? We say make time, whatever, but I tell how I finally fixed my morning routine to have time to write. And since I've been relaxing a little bit, I've been getting off of that. And now, as I said earlier, I'm going to have to get back on it. And Rosa would like to tell you that we're all going to die. The male person is here to slit our throats, but not if she can help it. Anyway. So yeah, that's, I'm not going to go through the entire beat sheet now because we've been going for a while, but I'll be doing this for the next couple of episodes unless I can get Jen on, which she agreed to do. Yes, she is good dog. Protect her family. Very protect. From those people that could be bringing me a royalty check. Don't eat the people who bring the royalty checks. God. Anyway. So yeah, when you're thinking about your career in the next couple of days, you know, look at your life, look at your situation, see if you can identify the theme, which is probably the thing you need to be thinking about that you're outright denying. And that's really hard to do, but you gotta stay with me here because the metaphor can only go on so long before you take over. And then see what can break your inertia. It might be something as easy as locking away your phone for an hour. Buying a kitchen lock box like I have. If I remember, I'll bring it up here on Thursday and show it off to the camera. I know, Nightbot. I will take care of it. Don't worry. Hey, Catwood. Yeah, I've been going on for a while, actually. So we'll see how long it continues. But just think about what inertia in your life is keeping you away from writing, because that is going to have to change. Something in there is going to have to change. It might be locking away a device. It might be asking your partner for some help with whatever you're doing that is writing time. You know, for me, it was, we worked together to do the dishes, but because he unloads and I load, if one of us stops, then the other one can't do their job. So, I talked to my husband about working on getting the dishes done at night so I don't get distracted by them in the morning, which is very easy for me to do. So, you know, it could be just that. It doesn't have to be, you know, your family gets burned alive by stormtroopers. It doesn't have to be your sister gets picked for the reaping. I mean, it can be small. But something is going to have to change that inertia, and that is going to be your catalyst I haven't actually gotten to the old craggy mentor, but the spoiler is that you want to go you want to learn from somebody with a lot of battle scars than from somebody who's completely untouched with shiny armor. Because no matter how good they look, that shows inexperience. And you know how you get those battle scars? You go through what you guys are going through right now in your rejections. You go through what I'm going through right now with these constant edits. These are all battle scars that will make us tougher later on. Which is why persistence is important. Persistence says that really annoying thing that happened, the thing that hurt my feelings, the thing that made me sad, the thing that made me doubt myself, it actually did make me stronger. Oh, thank you, Meerkat. I'd never heard that before. Smooth seas don't make good sailors. Yeah, that's a good point. So, the smooth seas and the shiny armor and the untouched warrior, those are all things that are not going to teach you much. Which is why we cheer when we get rejections. Because not only is it showing that we are working writers, but it's also a little bit tougher. You just get a little bit tougher. A little bit more scar tissue. A little bit more callous. Which implies bad things, but I don't think so in this time period. So I am going to end this now for the podcast feed. If you want to continue with our discussions, you can join us live on Tuesday or Thursday at twitch.tv/mightymur, or you can support the Patreon at patreon.com/mightymur and get the full audio download of everything we talk about after this. But until then, you can check me out at murverse.com, mightymur on Twitter, and my books are where fine books are sold, and my podcasts are where fine podcasts are subscribed to. So thank you for listening, and you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.